A woman feels her power when her voice is being heard. A woman feels her power when her voice is being heard. So
the
listen.
Earth will be healed by the women of the world. The
listen.
Earth will be healed by the
listen.
Women of the world.
I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Christine.
And this is
Incremental Steps.
Welcome. We are a couple of curvy, savvy, curious, wise women trying to strike a balance between career, family, and self-care while striving to leave the planet better off than the way we found it.
Well, that's a lot to live up to.
Yeah, it is. And it's a challenge.
Yeah, I'm glad we're doing this, my friend. So I know we had talked about when we started this that we would start out each show just talking about what we could talk about. So in one of my traditions, which is Interplay, which uses movement and storytelling and voice, we do this form called I Could Talk About, where we just go back and forth and say whatever pops into our head at the moment. So you want to play? You want to do a little of that?
Absolutely. Let's do this.
All right. So I could talk about Mother Earth and the environment.
Okay. I could talk about trying not to think about a job interview.
I could talk about raising teenage girls.
I could talk about finally having some sunshine.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, me too. I could talk about exercise or the lack thereof this week.
And I could talk about veganism.
I could talk about my Georgia Power Home Energy Report.
Wait, I do want you to talk about that.
I absolutely can.
Yeah, I could talk about having dogs nearby. I could talk about...
What about our goals? You want to talk about, you want to go from going back and forth and go and talk about
yeah,
our goals for this
that.
Podcast?
So this episode of this podcast is really just to introduce ourselves to our audience. So whoever you are out there, welcome. We're glad that you're here. And really what we want to do here is create a space where women can get together to get real. We are going to talk about our triumphs. We're going to talk about our challenges and how to take incremental steps to make progress on those goals. Our biggest collective goals together are to find about 50 different ways, one a week, to leave the world better than we found it, leave a lighter footprint. We're both former Girl Scout leaders, and that's a big
I'm
Girl
still
Scout.
A current, actually.
Oh, that's right.
Current
you
Girl
are.
Scout leader. I have a troop of girls that are juniors in high school. We actually have Girl Scout cookies sitting at the bottom of my stairs right now.
Oh, my
we
God.
We could talk
so
about that later.
Your house.
We should also tell them when we talk about the 50, I know we have more goals to go into more detail about, but let's talk about why this podcast even came to be. And it's kind of a funny origin story. When you and I were talking about the environment and different ways we wanted to make a difference, and what we realized, we both ordered our families for the holidays this year.
That's right. We well, so we also have a goal of weight loss, and that goal we came up with over Mexican food in a restaurant.
Right. So and that's the one I'm avoiding the most. So I wanted to divert us to the environmental challenges, but yes,
did.
Absolutely.
You we were both just talking and happened to mention the fact that we both were your stocking stuffers.
Mine were stocking stuffers. Absolutely.
We both had metal straws this year as stocking stuffers, and we kind of laughed that without even talking to each other, we've been friends
yep.
for a good long while now. We just came up with that on our own. I've seen it in the news. It started to get some traction, and I just wanted to try it out. So yeah,
bought the metal straws. We bought the cute little
silicone tops on them,
and the cloth bags that were pretty. And the funny part of that too is my daughter, my youngest daughter, who's 16, Sammy. She was so excited about her gift to give me this holiday season, and she had bought straws. Now, she had bought a different, I don't think you knew that, she had bought a different set. They weren't all metal. They were the silicone ones that were bigger. So, especially here, we live in Gwinnett County in Georgia, and the boba tea is really popular. Yeah, and so she had gotten the reusable straws that if we wanted to do the boba tea. But it was hysterical because we'd both bought each other straws. So you and I had started talking about, okay, what's the deal with this? Like, are we being suckered? Is this a good purchase? Does this really make a difference in the environment? And we hatched this plan, as my friend Phil Porter likes to say, this crackpot theory. We hatched this crackpot theory of, does this make a difference? And should we challenge ourselves and challenge other people to find it out if these things make a difference, to find it out if they work? So we're going to talk about that a little later in the show. Do the metal straws work? Have we used them?
Is it a worthwhile purchase?
Right? We are now about to be in March, and we've had them in our possession for 2 months. So
yeah,
I look forward to that conversation. We probably should loop back around to the rest of our goals, though, for this podcast. Did we cover them all?
Yeah. So it was 50 things to leave a lighter footprint and 50 pounds off our bodies.
Those are big goals.
They are big goals. And we are holding each other accountable as accountability partners. So you guys get to be along for our journey there.
Which is one of the things I do for a living, because one of my jobs is I'm a life coach and I'm very good at holding other people accountable.
Oh, I see. So it's all
a lot of times I stink about holding myself accountable.
All right. Well, I'm going to do it. Because at the end of this, we also agreed that we would set aside a certain amount of money for each pound we lost. And when we have enough money saved, we would go on a trip. Right now we're thinking Iceland, but I mean, it depends on what time of year we end up achieving that goal. We might want to be somewhere warmer than that if it ends up being later in the year. So,
right. And we had picked Iceland because we both love nature and we wanted to see the Aurora Borealis and see the Northern Lights. So that was why we were both drawn to that. But I could also see ziplining.
The thermal pools. That's what I want. I want to go in a giant hot tub.
Okay. I could also see ziplining in Costa Rica, like over the treetops.
They have an animal in Costa Rica that is like a cross between a monkey and a raccoon. And I need to see... I need to see that before I die. No, my dad saw it when he was there. He was there last week.
Oh, okay. Oh, you need to see it.
I want to see
it. So it's not being afraid of it. Okay, good.
And sloths.
Good.
They have sloths.
Oh, okay. I'm sold. So it's one of the two places. Right. And we'll figure that out along the way, because I think it may take us a little bit to,
yeah, I feel
to
like
meet
we,
that
we maybe
goal.
Maybe shouldn't be spending our money already.
All right. So should we leap in here and talk about our report on the straws?
I think we should probably check in with each other first on how we're doing on our goals.
Okay. How are we doing on our goals? I am not doing well. I will check in first. I am so resistant to this. Usually I am on board, and I don't know if it's just because, you know, one of the things we talked about when we talked about this podcast is how do we do it all? Like, as mothers and wives and friends and sisters
and activists, advocates.
Right? And myself, a business owner, and you work full time. Like, how in the heck do we do it all, right? And I just really noticed. So originally we talked about starting this in January, and then our lives just got crazy busy. And then we thought, okay, we'll have a hard reset February 1st.
Let's hit pause on that right now and just talk a little bit about who we are as people and what we're doing and why that is an issue. So,
sure.
So I'll say that I work full time as an office manager at a prestigious regional auction company. That's my day job, but my night job, my passion project is I'm bringing the League of Women Voters to the county where we live. Gwinnett County is where we live in Georgia, and it is one of the most pivotal areas politically right now. It's gone through a lot of change in terms of demographics and in terms of mentality. And
yeah, we're one of the most diverse counties in Georgia.
We are the most diverse county in the Southeast.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that statistic. That's a fabulous statistic.
Yeah.
We moved here. Like, when we moved from Texas over 10 years ago, we moved to this part of Georgia, first of all, for my husband's job. As long as he could fly out of Atlanta Airport, he was fine. But really because of the quality of life and also the diversity, because I wanted my kids to be exposed to different cultures and different values and have different experiences. And, you know, I'm the one that's horrible about statistics. I have to write them down or I can't remember. But, I, you know, when my kids went to elementary school, it was double digits of the numbers of languages and countries that were represented in their school. So it was those international nights and the foods. Holy cow, that ties into our goal.
Well, and we are, and honestly, there will be things that come up on this podcast that that we are extremely fortunate to have access to, because we have access to all kinds of Korean grocery stores.
Oh yeah,
and an amazing diversity of food options
and our farmers markets, right? Our farmers markets, so we can pretty much get anything from all over the world where we live right now. So that is a plus,
right? So, I found out that there was no League of Women Voters, and I had been coordinating an indivisible group, but when I found out there wasn't a League of Women Voters, I knew that that was what I needed to take on. It was just not okay for a place this important to not have that going on. So I'm engaged a lot in voter education. And voter access, which is another big hot button issue here in Georgia. So when I am not at work, a lot of times I'm going to candidate events and those kinds of things, and so are you. And that's the big, the other thing. And then this, which we've
this
really had
project.
A hard time. This is the play we've had a hard time to get spinning, but that's just also been because we've been traveling and doing things. But so tell a little bit about what your professional
what I'm up to.
Yes.
So this is Christine, and as an introduction, I usually introduce myself as my name is Christine, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers. And I am a business owner. I'm an entrepreneur, and I have a couple of different, and I'm an author and a writer, an activist, a speaker. I have a lot going on.
You do.
My background, I have a master's in social work, and I have been a fierce advocate for people that are underserved and discriminated against and oppressed for a really long time. So that is my passion and my work kind of come together. And tied to that is the book that I just wrote last year with my co-author, Sheila K. Collins. And we wrote a book for caregivers. It's called Still Point. It's a playbook for caregivers to find ease and time to breathe and reclaim joy. So the other part of my job is I'm a certified Interplay Atlanta leader. So what I do is I teach people through movement and storytelling and voice, how to reconnect with their body wisdom. So all of my different things that I do kind of tie in, and it's really about, you know, working with women and children to help uplift oppression and help heal and find joy in life. And I like to say I get paid to play. I don't get paid much, but I get paid to play.
We'll work on that.
Right? And, oh, you know, we didn't even talk about the other thing that we pretty much do full time. And that's our families. So I have been married to my husband, Joe, for almost 25 years. We're working on 25 years. We have a 21-year-old daughter and a 16-year-old daughter. And I always say teenage daughters. And one of my good friends the other day stopped me and said, you have to quit saying that you have two teenage daughters. One of them's an adult and she can now drink. Little bit of denial going on. Just saying.
Fair. Yeah, so same. So I'm Stephanie, and my pronouns are also he, he. What am I talking about? She and her. I'm also married, been married for 23 years, and have a 19-year-old son and a 17-year-old daughter, and all of the things that go with that. So, it keeps you on your toes. I have a, in fact, the big challenge in our house right now is convincing the 17-year-old that Uber is not a long-term solution, and at some point she's going to have to learn how to drive a car. So
we have that same discussion in our house. And that is the discussion we can talk about, too, is in regard to the environment, though, right?
Well,
I was thinking about this the other day, but then we talk about things about convenience, and I know those are some things you and I have had long discussions about and that are going to come up on this podcast, like holding the environmental awareness and consciousness at the same time trying to lead these really full, amazing lives and make a difference in the world. And where can we take shortcuts? Where can we not? How does it work?
Yeah, I think convenience is going to be the challenge for next week. So let's just get into where we are with. Okay, so checking in. Okay, so you said you had a rough week.
Well,
checking in.
And we're, well, just because, you know, so Stephanie is amazingly organized, y'all. This is one of the reasons that I love partnering with her. We have, full disclosure, in the past, we've done women's retreats together. We've done workshops together. We have had a lot of fun putting on events. And one of the reasons I love Stephanie is she's so organized. Like, when we do a project together, she has a spreadsheet for it. She has our task laid out. So she's got the spreadsheet for us to enter our weights in. And we're not sharing that online, but or on the air, but we're sharing it with each other for accountability. And I have put one number in there. One number.
You've put two.
Oh, whoop! See, I'm doing twice as good as I thought I was doing.
You had, whoop, whoop. You had a beginning and an ending for 1 week. And that was in January.
Well, I actually did better this week than I've done the last 3 weeks. I think I'm down 2 pounds this week, and which is huge. But yay. I gained 2 pounds when we started this. So, like, I lost 2, I gained 4, I'm down 2. So I think I'm back at my beginning weight when we started this. So when I say down, I'm down 2 this week. And, you know, the biggest factor, I believe, is sleep. I honestly believe, for me, now, I did cut out sugar 2 weeks ago. And boy, those first 3 days of detox were rough. But once I got through it,
but that's always the case. No matter what you're doing, if you're doing something where you radically change how you eat and what you're doing, those first few days, you're going to feel withdrawal. You're going to feel draggy. It's going to be hard.
Well, here's the thing that really surprised me. I don't eat a lot of sugar. Like, compared to the American regular diet, like, I don't do processed sugar. I do raw natural honey, which I'm sorely missing right now. Can I just tell you, it is my comfort in my tea every morning. But I haven't had that for 2 weeks. I do some dark chocolate with sea salt. Now, you know, I think what may have happened is there was some sugars in things that, like, I wasn't paying attention to labels, or we've eaten out a couple of times. But I'm not, like, sugar is not my Achilles heel. Tex-Mex is my Achilles heel. You know, I was born in Texas. I love Mexican food and Tex-Mex. And
so we should also say we're both actually
Texas, full disclosure,
Texas refugees living in Georgia and quietly yearning for true Tex-Mex food, which we cannot get here. I don't care what anybody says. You cannot get it.
That's right. Texas. But I sure try them all and try to make a difference. Also, it was really hysterical because this just happened a couple of months ago. I was in Texas visiting with I was doing a perform the book with my colleague, and we had gone out to eat afterwards, of course, to a Tex-Mex restaurant, because you're in Texas. That's what you do.
Heck yeah, you
and, do. Especially when it's good food. And my friend was there, and she's like, yeah, I can't have chips. I'm not doing any fried food. And I go, well, I don't eat fried food, as I am totally eating chips.
You're eating tortilla chips?
Because it's one of those blind spots I have, right? I don't fry food at my house. I don't make fried food. But boy, I can totally nosh down on some chips. So I do know that one of the things throughout this process that I'm going to have to do is let go of my attachment to Tex-Mex, because it tends to be my comfort food. And I have noticed I've needed a lot of comfort the last 2 years. So I have put on weight,
but
and that's why I'm willing to join you in this challenge.
Why do you have to give up all Tex-Mex food for that to be the case? Can you not have it without having the chips and having that? Can you just have like rice
and
beans?
Can I be disciplined? Is that what you're asking?
I'm asking if you can make choices. Because like the restaurant that there's one that we frequently go to, and it, you know, it has vegetarian fajitas. Like, that wouldn't be a terrible thing. Oh, but you can't have the peppers.
Right. So part of my issue is I have an autoimmune issue. And so when my body is at the happiest, I'm eating lean proteins and vegetables and not really doing things like nightshades. So a lot of times people ask me, what are nightshades? Nightshades are tomatoes. They're peppers. Potatoes fall in that category, but they don't affect me as much. But, you know, eggplant. That, you know, tomatoes and peppers, the things that make salsa.
Yeah.
Like, this is a real problem.
I just have a hard time. I don't know. I can't imagine my life without tomatoes and peppers. So that's hard.
Well, and I can't either. So occasionally I have them. And then what happens is I get inflamed and my weight goes up. And then it takes about 3 days for it to get out of my system.
I think it would be interesting to find out are you absolutely certain that that's what does it? The tomatoes and the peppers are what do it? It's not the oil from the chips.
Nope.
It's not.
Nope. I've been on this journey with my health for, well, the serious part about the food for over 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah. I've seen a naturopath. We've checked out what works, what doesn't work. Plus I've just, kept food journals, really paid attention to my body. Like I know I can have a little bit of potatoes. I can have a little bit of sweet potatoes. I can't have a lot. Like, and that's the other thing. It's like every once in a while I can have a little bit, and like red peppers do better than green peppers. Like I know we're getting into the, it's really weird, but
that's
there is
wild.
A chemical difference about that.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough. Okay. So that's your check-in.
My check-in is I was down 2 pounds this week, and sleep, getting 7.5 hours of sleep a night made a huge difference.
Okay. So,
and no sugar this
week. You're going to do that.
Yep.
Okay. So, So at the beginning of the year, I was sort of the same way. I just couldn't seem to, even though I knew we were doing this, we were going to be talking about it, I couldn't seem to commit to doing anything. And then, I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone about it, and she's vegan, and she was like, well, I have been doing this, eat to live thing, and it's, without even really trying, just tweaking a little bit what I ate, I dropped like 10 pounds pretty easy. You should do that if you're really looking to lose a substantial amount of weight. And that's when I was like, oh, vegan. I don't know. But because we are pairing, environment and health issues, and I keep reading that the very best thing that you can do to the environment is
for the environment,
yeah. Right, is stop eating meat. So I'm like, okay, well,
and as the granddaughter of a beef farmer, I know this to be true, but holy cow, when it's in
literally
your genetics, right?
Yeah, well, I know. I don't know, because I've done all the paleo things and that kind of thing, and it always felt to me like, ugh, I can't eat this much more protein. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the American diet needs anywhere near as much protein as we're being told that we need.
Unless you're heavy duty weightlifting, which is on my list, but I haven't even really started.
Yeah, I mean, but who is?
No.
Who's out there?
Joe. He does enough that he probably needs extra protein, but not me. But I'm eating like I do, and that's part of the issue, right?
I don't believe that most people who are on the paleo diet to lose weight are like, well, I'm gonna be able to pump. So I am not buying that. And it just ends up giving you, I just felt like I was getting the meat sweats. It wasn't pleasant. So I was like, yeah, I think I could probably do this. I want to give it a try. So the way that the book works, it has a 6-week plan, and you're supposed to eat a pound a day of raw green and non-green vegetables.
All right.
A pound of cooked vegetables.
Okay.
And that sounds like a ton.
It sounds like a lot. I like vegetables, but that sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot, but if that's most of what you're eating, it's not that much,
so
really.
So give our listeners, like, if you... I know you know a pound. You didn't even mention that you have a background as an herbalist, but I know, like, when you measure out stuff, you automatically visualize a pound. What would you say on a plate?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Yeah, no, I weigh it.
Okay, but when you weigh it, when you pour a pound onto a plate, is the plate mounded?
Here's how I do it, and I don't know if it's a pound. I don't weigh it.
Okay.
But I'll start the day off with you're also supposed to have 4 fruit a day. And you can have an ounce of nuts a day. You can have a cup or more of beans a day. And you cannot have any more than a cup of a whole grain or a starchy vegetable like potatoes or whatever. So most of your diet is the vegetables.
Okay.
So I have a green smoothie in the morning for breakfast. And I just put like...
Which you were doing that before you started this, right?
Yeah, but not the way that I'm doing it now.
Okay.
So I'm not using the little powders and stuff anymore.
Okay.
It's just some fruit. And then I just jam in as much like spring mix as I can, and then put a banana in there.
Hardcore.
So, yeah.
Like no spinach or?
Well, spinach if I have it. Honestly, anything green.
Okay.
Raw and green, I'm throwing it in there. I have a Vitamix blender, so I can just.
Lucky girl. Got the plunger.
Yeah. So I can plunge things in there. And you get like a tablespoon of flax so that you get enough of the omegas. And that keeps me pretty full most of the morning. I mean, my chief complaint with green smoothies usually is that they're not very filling. Mm-hmm. But that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And that knocks out a lot. That's basically like having a salad for breakfast.
Right.
So then for lunch, I usually just do some like crudité. So wait,
let me stop you for just a second.
Okay.
What's the you said fruit, and what was the liquid? Did you put any liquid in it?
I put some water in.
Oh, okay.
Just water.
Okay.
And today I did it different. Instead of using the ounce of nuts in there, mm-hmm. I used a little bit of tofu, and that worked pretty well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I would not give up my nuts into a smoothie. I would need some crunchy.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I was kind of wanting to have something at night.
Yeah.
You can have as much beans or tofu as you want. You can eat that's unlimited. So I was like, I can put a little of that in a smoothie. Anyway, so for lunch, then I have about 8 ounces of raw vegetables, and that's like a cup or two, maybe 2 cups of vegetables. And then I usually have some kind of comfort foody, like rice in air quotes, like rice, cauliflower and beans of some kind, something like that.
Yeah.
And then at night I have, either a soup and salad kind of combo or something where I'll have the green salad at night, but only at night. I don't want to have a salad with breakfast. They talk about that, and I'm like,
not your thing.
I'm not gonna do that.
That's a lot of prep work.
It is. That is the biggest challenge of doing this is getting the kitchen in order and having everything lined up. But once you have as long as I have like celery and carrots and stuff on hand to just crunch on. But you also don't eat in between meals at all. Just 3 meals a day. That's it.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So you can't crunch on celery in between.
No. But you have so much to eat at the meals that you don't really want to.
Okay.
Which is pretty good. I think it establishes some good habits.
Anyway, oh, yeah, it does.
Anyway, the first few days of doing that... Oh, and no oil. No oil and no salt.
I wish y'all could see my face right now. Because, my eyes got really wide because I'm like, what?
Yeah. I actually bought a pan. I bought one of those copper pans because I was like... I'm not going to be able to cook without using some oil.
Right? This is really challenging all your beliefs.
It is. It is very... Yes, it really is. Because you know how I feel about raw greens.
Right.
I think they... Well, I tested myself on that. Like, that's an autoimmune protocol also is that it can have thyroid issues.
Yeah.
But I did the whole protocol on that, and I don't think I have thyroid issues. So I'm like, all right, bring on the greens. So I've been doing that now for 3 weeks, and I've lost... a total since January of 12 pounds.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. And most of that was in the last 3 weeks because before that it was sort of up and down.
That is so inspiring. Like I am like right where I started.
Well, I feel like I'm settling into it. Like it doesn't feel as withdrawal-y as it did at first. And so I committed to doing the 6-week protocol like that twice. So I'll do 12 weeks. And then I'm not committing to veganism long term. I'll see.
I don't know if you know this. Do you know that Alex, who's my 21-year-old, did veganism for a year? She did veganism for a year. I can't remember how much weight she lost. She wanted to do it for her health, but I think she also wanted to do it to lose a little weight. She looked amazing. But here was the thing. She was getting ready to move out of the house, and we sat down to do the budget, like the food budget, because the way she was doing it, I wasn't by this protocol. So she was buying some things that were more expensive.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, like some of the vegan cheeses and vegan mayos and all that. And we sat down to do the budget, and she's like, I can't afford to be a vegan. It was funny, and it was also a little irritating because I had my grocery bill had been insane for a year. But I mean, to the point of losing weight, I mean, she looked fabulous.
Well, but part of the point of this is that there's a lot of salt, there's a lot of stuff that in any kind of processed food, even vegan processed food, so you kind of want to avoid doing as much like that as you can. And it's challenging, and I don't think I'd make a lifestyle out of it, but I could see getting to a point where I do it at 75%.
Yeah.
And have occasionally some bone broth, some yogurt, some fish.
Yeah.
But maybe only once
really
every week or two.
Cutting out like your red meats and stuff for the planet and for your health.
Yeah, I don't really miss it. I like a lot of beans and rice kind of stuff anyway. It's not like that's why I was like, I don't feel like I need to give up Tex-Mex. In fact, this week I had kind of stabilized and have been exercising a little bit more, and mm-hmm. I feel like my body kind of reacts to that. If I exercise more and I'm trying to lose weight, it like shuts everything down.
Right.
And then like you and I went somewhere Friday night, and so we ate what the people around us had to eat. And then I went out, I had a meeting Saturday, and Steve and I went out to dinner Saturday night, and I made choices. Like I had like a quinoa salad for lunch and a, mm-hmm. A black bean and spinach salad for dinner, which I'm sure had a lot of salt and oil and stuff in it that wouldn't mm-hmm. be like, but it was fine.
Yeah.
And then I'd like dropped 3 pounds this morning. So it's like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I need to give myself a break.
I was on a program last year that worked really well. And part of the deal it gave you is that you have one day off, because it says our bodies do get static. And if you have one day off, it kind of shakes them up a little.
Yeah.
Now, my problem is being disciplined enough to just have one day
off. To do
off,
the one day.
Right?
Yeah, that is hard.
Because what I've noticed is, I've noticed that when I'm under stress, which I have been under a little bit lately, that, you know, I just fall into old patterns. And my biggest thing is portions. And I feel like as we talk about all this, I had this thought of us being those people that always put their food pictures on Instagram. And I don't want to go on too long about that. I don't think this will be normal that we do this long of a check-in about it.
We're just establishing what we're... So my thing is a vegan path right now. And your thing is...
Well, so I have been...
some vegetables.
I've been gluten-free for over 3 years for health reasons. And so really focusing on lean proteins and vegetables and no sugar. So I need to up my vegetables, and you inspire me to up my vegetables. So
the program, it actually says like the more vegetables you eat, the more weight you're going to lose.
Boy. All right. I need to like either put that on my fridge or, and I love vegetables. Well, you know, I grew up on a farm.
Even if
I grew
all you up do with, is the green smoothie. Like that's pretty easy.
And right.
Start your day off nice.
Absolutely. And I like that. Cause a lot of times I'm running in the morning. Like tomorrow I have a 7:30 AM meeting in the morning. So it is hard to make good choices, like when you're running. So my go-to has been those amazingly delicious egg bites at...
Oh, the sous vide things
are they not,
Starbucks?
Right? I know, ridiculous. I know, she's putting her hand up, y'all. Talk to the hand.
I am not having eggs. Not for 12 weeks, anyway. I might have an egg or two now and then after.
Well, all right. So it sounds like we're doing pretty good. You're doing much better than I am. So I'm
going
to...
Well, you've got some catching up to do, but it's...
I do.
We're early
well,
into this.
Well, one of the things I didn't mention is I've restarted my yoga practice. So this week I did yoga more days than not. I'm still not up to 7 days a week, but I'm getting there.
But also, let's just say that Georgia has become Seattle.
Oh my gosh.
And it is
this
February.
Week was so hard. We literally just saw the sun for the first time in a week. And can I tell you, we had a chance to move to Seattle with one of Joe's jobs, and we chose not to because we know, like, we need sunshine. And it was hardcore this week.
Yeah,
in fact, I started taking my vitamin D. Like, I realized, what is going on? I am so funky. So I started taking my vitamin D, started feeling better. What did I do this week for exercise? I did a deep water aerobics class. I did my yoga. I need to do more. I mean, I know my body, I used to be an athlete. I used to do triathlons. Would like to get back to those, but not, I don't have it in my schedule right now.
Wow.
But I know that I need like 5 days of hardcore in my schedule. I just have not made that happen. So that's one of the things I want to get recommitted to.
Well, that's where I feel like there's a balance between diet and exercise, and it's very rarely even.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
And for me right now, it needs to be more about the diet and less mm-hmm. about the, like, I can dedicate about 30 minutes a day, and that's probably it. If I can't get it done in the morning, I can, by the time I commute home for an hour, I'm done.
Right. Especially in Atlantic traffic.
Yeah. I'm done.
Right.
It's not going to happen. And unless it's been raining for an extended length of time and there's a window of opportunity to go out and walk, then I'll try and suck it up and put my tennis shoes on.
I used to be a distance runner, And I have visions of myself getting back to that, but I need to walk before you run. You know, I need to, and I need to, I know we've done that in the past. We've met at 5:30 in the morning to go walking, and it will, I know spring's right around the corner. So I'm going to try to be gentle with ourselves about when we get back out there. And
when it gets warmer, we'll move more.
Well, and I'm okay if it's cold. It's just when it's cold and rainy. Holy guacamole, Batman. We're not doing that.
But I have an elliptical, so I go in the basement if I have to, because my doctor told me to get on the elliptical, even though I was like, why can't I just walk? But anyway, okay, so that's what we're doing. So this is our baseline, right?
Baseline,
this is where
we
are. So, right. And our goal is 2 pounds a week. So
I did it last week. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. And I feel like that's a real wobbly goal, but as long as it averages out, that's fine. Okay, so let's talk about the straws.
All right.
Okay, so we both bought straws, and I bought my family also the silicone straws. So everybody has a couple, like the bent metal straw and the straight metal straw and a bigger, fatter,
And I think we both got them from Amazon, right?
We did. I just ordered mine.
Which is a whole other issue we should talk about on another episode about packaging and convenience.
I want one of our challenges to be going on an Amazon diet and not ordering on Amazon, but I need time to prep for that. I need to buy a bunch of stuff on Amazon first. I have a hard time telling people no. Like, they just hand you the straw.
Oh my gosh, can I tell you what I've been doing lately?
Are you just refusing?
No, so yes. Or what I've started doing is talking to managers. So, like, I was at Chewy's, full confession time.
What kind of restaurant is that?
Right. and I was there, and they brought out straws for everybody. They sent them out of the kitchen with straws. And I asked to speak to the manager. Well, first of all, I asked if they had a comment card. I filled out a comment card. And I asked to speak to the manager. And I said, hey, you know, and he's like, how was everything? I was like, food was amazing. We had a great time. But here's my deal. Can you please not send out plastic straws from the kitchen unless they're either requested or, hey, what about switching to paper? And he's like, well, hey, we don't have paper straws. I'm like, okay, great. So quit sending out straws from the kitchen. It'll also save you money, right? And he was like, this was his answer. It was adorable. I like nature too. And then we got into this whole conversation about hiking, which Stephanie and I both have been members of Trail Dames, which is a women's hiking club, and hiked in the mountains in and around North Georgia and North Carolina. And so he told me, you would have loved it, because he went off on this whole tangent about his hikes that he's done and named different ones. Like, I guess just proving he was a good guy, right?
Lonely, perhaps?
I don't know. It was a much longer conversation than I expected. But my new resolution to myself is to pay attention if straws are coming out of the kitchen to not request a straw. Because, man, once they come out, the damage is already done.
Here's a secondary issue I have with the straws. They're very long. Mine are. They're like they're long.
Oh, metal ones, yeah.
Yeah, the metal ones. Mm-hmm. So the little bag that they come in is great and everything. But like, I don't carry a big purse around all the time. So I'm having a hard time. If it's a double Dutch jump rope thing, I can't quite jump in there.
Right.
So I haven't been very successful with it.
So can I ask you this question? Like, why did you think I'm going to do this? Like, what prompted you to do this?
Because there's a bazillion of them out there in the ocean, and they hurt animals, and it's not a good thing. And I know that intellectually, and it seems like an easy enough thing to get rid of. But honestly, if I'm at the point where I'm going to refuse the straw that the person is trying to put in my hand, it's just as easy for me to just drink the drink. Like, I don't really feel like I need a metal straw. So I don't always have it with me. And I'm not finding that I use it much, and my family isn't either. Now, that said, I'd be willing to give it another try. Like, hey, guys, remember we were going to have our straws? But also, it's kind of weird for us all to just go walking into a restaurant with, like, bags of straws. Like, I don't know if that's a... I don't know if that's a lifestyle change that my family will ever successfully make.
And what I realize is we don't use a lot of straws, right?
We never use straws at home.
Right? So I think it's more, for me, it's more impactful to have the conversation on more of a macro level. And the reason I got interested in this issue and the reason I brought straws is I was presenting at the Parliament of World Religions last November in Toronto. And there was this incredible group of kids, and I wish I could remember their names. I know they were from LA. They were a performance troupe. They did this whole amazing performance. They pretended like they were a YouTube video. And they did this whole presentation and dance performance on single-use plastics and really challenged us all to quit using them. And they challenged us to say that plastic straws were one of the easiest things to cut out and to make a difference on. So that's where I kind of thought, yes, and you know, bought the metal straws, really excited about them. I really like the cloth carrier bags even more than
they're nice.
Aren't they cute?
Yeah.
More than the straws. But then I realized, hey, my family really doesn't use straws that often.
So I will say, so my son at home, he will mm-hmm. use, he has his metal straws and he does use them in things at home.
Okay.
And I think I've used the silicone straw once or twice with the smoothie that I have when I do the smoothies.
Okay.
Because I need the whiter.
Okay,
but
that
honestly,
makes sense.
And it is kind of messy drinking a smoothie. So I think I get the silicone straws better than I get the
metal
straws.
Skinny metal ones. Well, and they come with that fun little brush to clean them out. But,
The teeny tiny brush.
But then that's another thing you have to hand wash. Like, and who has time for that, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, I guess you could put them in the dishwasher, but they're really not going to get clean.
I think I have done that. But I'm not getting that thing clean that way.
Right?
That's
another thing to put on our to-do list, which we don't have time for.
Right.
Nobody's got time for that.
So in general, I would say the better solution. To me, I doubt that is, if I had it to do over again, I don't think I'd buy them. Because I think I would just say, hey guys, why don't we just drink out of the cups?
The big silicone ones?
Yeah, I would do that, I think.
Because I think my crew will use those more than others because of the boba tea issue.
Yeah.
Like, I think
because our kids live in a very heavily Korean area.
Yeah. And that's one of their go-tos. Yeah,
that happens to be something they have a lot, and that makes sense for
them. And that is one that you do need a straw for, to suck up those little tapioca balls.
They're not little. They're like marbles.
If nobody's ever had boba tea before, it is these tapioca balls that are in the bottom of a tea that are kind of chewy and textured.
It's like somebody put a bunch of gummy bears inside a thing of tea.
Right.
But they're round.
Right. And so that's why you need the straw to do it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we're saying,
for some reason, you got to suck those things up a straw.
This is very satisfying, though, I have to tell you.
Yeah, there is
like,
something
but
oddly.
They also cook them in a syrup solution. So, like, they're off my list right now because I'm not doing sugar.
Right.
But, okay. So we're saying yes to the big silicone straws and probably...
I would say let your conscience be your guide. If you really are somebody who likes to drink things out of a straw, if you if you're a big here's the other thing. I don't drink a lot of Diet Cokes. I don't drink. I have my little LaCroix that I drink out of the can. And I drink water and tea a lot. I just don't require a straw. If you are somebody who does require a straw, you not only drink like carbonated drinks, but you drink them from glass. Then knock yourself out.
Go for it.
A great idea.
It's worth it.
But
I have to say, I also gave a set to a friend of mine, and she was delighted. I would be interested in doing follow up with her and asking if she's using hers. And then I have another friend that I was at a meeting with that she carries this whole bag around with her, talking about the bag issue, and she also has. You know how when we're in Girl Scouts, we had our mess kits? She has a stackable mess kit. And so what she does is she uses that to take leftovers home in. Like, it's brilliant. I mean, it makes sense, but
So she goes into restaurants with a mess kit?
She takes it wherever she goes. It's in her backpack.
She takes her mess kit with...
Yep.
Okay.
I know. Are we going to be one of those crunchy...
Okay. We are 100% already crunchy.
But is that pushing it? Because what I really liked about it is I feel guilt every time.
I'm picturing a miner from like 1849 walking into a restaurant with like a giant backpack full of like shovels.
Right? It's a little backpack. You don't even know it. And she whips it out. And I was thinking, what a great solution. Because I do feel guilty anytime. And I'm a to-go girl. Like I was raised by parents who came from grandparents who were part of the Great Depression. So, like, you do not waste food.
Yeah,
you do
same,
not leave food.
But, I mean...
But then you got the whole styrofoam container issue, right? Don't you feel guilty when
yes.
they put it in styrofoam?
Okay, so you're actually segueing perfectly into our challenge for next week, which is... yeah, I hate this story. Styrofoam is... universally
evil.
Horrible.
I think it's
and
evil.
I wish they just wouldn't give you things in styrofoam, but that's a different issue. Okay, so the challenge for next week is the grocery bags, and here's why this is a big deal for you and me.
Right.
We both use delivery services, and
right?
we have no control over what kind of bags come in.
Well, I think what, you know, when we had talked about this, so before we started using delivery services, and we'll have to talk about why we got into that, but we would either take our reusable bags, or I don't know about you, but I would ask for paper, right?
I don't ask for paper.
You don't? Okay.
I don't do that.
See, I had friends. I went to college in East Texas. I went to Stephen F. Austin State University. Go Lumberjacks. And I know, you just got to do that when you name your college.
Bowling Green, North Texas.
And so there was a big timber industry there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I, because, you know, I'm also crunchy granola, don't cut down the trees. And then I realized, okay, this is a crop, especially what they make those bags. It's a crop, and it is sustainable, and it is reusable.
Mean,
so versus the plastic.
My family has a tree farm, so yeah.
Oh, okay, so you get it. But versus the plastic, right, that is filling up our landfills. And that's why if I forget my plastic bags, which I often do, my reusable ones,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm talking about, because I do have a bag collection. Do you have a bag collection?
Of course.
Yeah, like a bag within bags?
I have a thermal bag that carries all of my bags that are not thermal.
Yeah, I have a thermal bag from Texas that my parents gave me as a gift because they know how big of a geek I am. And then I have some really nice canvas bags. And then I have, you know.
Do you have any? Okay, so one of the things I bought these thinner mesh bags that are supposed to be just for produce.
Oh, no.
Have you done that?
Uh-uh. I haven't done that.
So that's another thing and here's the thing. I never use them because I never have them with me when I'm going to get produce.
Okay.
Plus, because my schedule has been crazy. I usually go on at work and sort of order most of my groceries and either do the pickup service or have them delivered, in which case they just come in plastic bags.
Right.
Like I haven't, do you have a workaround for that?
Well, yeah, I think so, because I think in there's special instructions. There's a way to do a special instructions. Like what it says when I'm ordering, I use Instacart most of the time and I love buying from Aldi, but that's a whole nother show. If there's not a product, you can put in a special request. And I think that's where I would put it in. Please.
But how do you do that? Like, are you buying the bags every single time?
Well, they're 5 cents a piece if they're paper bags at Aldi.
Oh, you get the paper.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Where I would say paper.
Oh,
please,
okay.
Please
so
bag my groceries in paper bags.
Okay, but ideally what you want to get to is the reusable bags.
Absolutely. But then how do we do that? So the reason I started using Instacart and felt very guilty about it, can I tell you? I don't know if this gets into the whole household issue. I don't know. Or privilege. I don't know. I felt so guilty. But I was on deadline for our book last year. And my family was starting to complain because
covers were bare.
And I thought, and somebody sent me a coupon for it. And I thought, oh, that's cheaper than going to the grocery store with that first coupon that they suck you in with, right? And it was. And it was amazing. And the person shopped for me and they walked up my stairs and left them at the front door and rang the doorbell. It was a game changer. And then, you know, I did it a couple of times, felt really guilty. And then I was like, I just need to go to the grocery store. Well, what I realized is actually ordering online saves me money. It saves me money and it keeps me on track with my diet. And the reason is because there's no impulse items.
Well,
so,
okay, so, but that's the challenge, right? Like, so you're saying your solution to that is you're going to keep doing the delivery service, but just use the paper bags?
Yep. That's my choice for this week.
I'm going to try to not do the delivery, like I did a delivery service already once this week, but like I need to go as soon as this is over, I've got to go again. So I'm going to try and go in person and do the thing and use the reusable bags. But I do think it's a challenge. That's the conundrum, right, of living in this world. Like, how do you balance everything? Like, I know I should be using reusable bags, but also I'm tired.
Right.
And I don't want to go to the grocery store all the time. And sometimes I just can't.
Right. Right.
So I guess that is a better, that's an okay solution for using, okay, so you do the paper bags. Have you been doing that? Have you been getting your things in paper bags?
Once or twice. Like, it is something you have to manually put in.
Okay.
So I'm going to make that commitment that I will be doing that.
Okay. So next week we're going to report back on how well we did with not using, not bringing plastic bags into our homes.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Woo! We'll see. But yeah, it seems like it should be pretty easy, but it's really not. Especially here in Georgia where they're not super, there's not a lot of work that goes into discouraging plastic here.
Well, I would say at certain stores. Like, you know, yeah, Trader Joe's and Sprouts, like you get, if you bring your own bags, if you get a discount, you get like 5 cents off or you get to enter in a drawing for a prize. Like, I think there's some incentives at some stores.
Okay.
But we don't shop at all those stores, right? So that's the other thing.
Well, okay. So that's our challenge.
Right.
So our challenge this week is no plastic bags at all. And how we make that happen. And we'll report back on that next week.
All right.
And I think that's about it for this week. So
Wait a second.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We did those whole I could talk about.
Okay.
And we never really talked about more than one of them. So is there one that you wanted to say a little bit more about the things you could talk about? It's been a little bit. We've been chatting for a while. So do you remember what you said?
I don't remember what they were.
Well, you were talking about the sunshine. You were talking about...
Well, so I did get up this morning and I took my time getting up and running. I didn't sleep that well. But that's just... I just accept that I just don't sleep that well a lot of times. It doesn't have anything to do with what I'm eating or any of that. I just am a light sleeper. And I have a daughter that has to be at school at the crack of dawn.
Right? We both do.
Yep.
Oh, man. 7:10 a.m. They have to be seated in their chairs, like, ready to go.
Yeah, and if she rode the bus, she'd have to be at the bus stop at 6:20, and it's 2 miles from our house, which is insane. So, anyway, it felt really good to get to walk after the sun is up in the sky, and it actually was. So, I got to go for a little walk this morning. That was really nice. And then I took the my daughter and a friend of hers into town and went shopping, and we just kind of strolled around outside. That was just lovely. Had a little coffee, did the whole thing. Yeah, it was nice. It was just, it feels like spring, and I know that's a lie.
Right? Right? And I don't know if you saw the weather report, but like this, we've got like 1 or 2 days of sunshine, then it's another.
And then it's back at it again.
I know.
That's how it is in Georgia. You start to think, for me, spring is all about planting because, like you said, I'm an herbalist and I grow a lot of things. And we are going to do a lot of renovation work to the garden. And we're going to do a keyhole garden this year, which is a new thing because I'm a lazy composter. And my keyhole garden lets you just dump the compost in and it feeds the garden automatically.
We have to talk about that next week more in detail.
Yeah, we can talk about that because that is definitely an environmental goal. And I have tried every possible way of composting, and I'm just inherently lazy, and I need a system that's going to work for me without much effort. So hopefully this will do the trick for good. But I'd love to start working on it now, but I know it's going to get really cold again before it gets really warm again.
Right.
So that's,
and here
that's
in Georgia, our daffodils are blooming, our tulip trees are blooming. We've got all kinds of crazy things
and
blooming.
It's only February,
right? But that's been the trend the last couple of years with climate change. Like, I've been really noticing that. So, yeah. We'll probably at least have one more hard freeze. I saw snow was in the forecast
will definitely have one more hard freeze. One day after I plant everything I'm gonna plant.
That's the predictor. You have heard it here. Yes. So when you hear Stephanie talk about that, well, I want to say a little bit more about, I could talk about my Georgia Power home energy report. Have you been getting these? Have you?
No, I haven't done this yet.
So I don't know how I signed up, or all of a sudden these reports started showing up in my email telling me about how much of a percentage I've used versus similar homes in my neighborhood.
Okay.
And it's terrifying.
Uh-oh.
It is terrifying. So I got a report about a week ago that said I have used 119% more energy than similar homes. Is that not horrible? Like, we're doing this environmental challenge and it's horrible.
It's time to take down the Christmas lights, Christy.
Now, here's the good news, right? good news, bad news. It's like one of those. But we had to go out and buy a new washer and dryer. Our washer and dryer died. We've been limping along. We have never in 25 years of marriage bought a new washer and dryer.
What?
I know. Well, my mother-in-law gifted, she worked at Sears when we first got married, and she gifted us our first washer and dryer. Okay. And that one lasts, and it was
still, it lasted 25 years?
No, I can't remember how long it lasted, but when it broke down, I just bought a used set, or, you know, I'm pretty frugal. Yeah. You learn that about me through this process.
Yes. Yes.
Well, my husband was like, okay, enough is enough. We need a new washer and dryer, and we need an energy efficient one. So, and of course, when it rains, it pours. About a month or two before that, we had to replace our dishwasher because, you know, we're in that cycle where all the appliances die at once, right? Yep. So we went out and bought. So we now have an energy efficient dishwasher and an energy efficient washer and dryer. So I'm hoping that alone helps, because in the report, so they tell you about it. And then the other thing that they do is they tell you like ways to save energy. So the first one is like wash your laundry with cold water. Well, I do that already. Like that's just a standard in my household. Now this one's a little tricky. Reduce your water heater.
Is your hot water electric?
Yes.
Oh.
I need to check. I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is. Reduce your water heater's temperature. I mean, we may have to have that on a challenge later. That one's a hard one for me because I am a hot bath girl all the way. So upgrade to an efficient washing machine. Whoop, whoop. I feel like I made a difference.
There you
and
go.
Then there's more ways to save, and it tells you what you save.
So you should expect that next month when you get that report that it'll be lower because you've got a better appliances?
I think we'll check in and see. I mean, okay. I would think that.
It may also be that as the weather gets warmer, if you have to use electric for hot water, your consumption may go down anyway.
Well, the other thing I want to check is my hot water heater. Like, I think it's older, and so it may be that it needs to be cleaned out. You know, there's things you can do as a homeowner. And also, I was reading about changing your filters more often.
Are you sure it's not gas?
I don't think so. I'll check. I'm going to go home and check. I don't think it is. I think it's electric. But, you know, changing your filters and your HVAC and doing all that stuff, the maintenance part that we know as homeowners, but we don't think about it as having an environmental impact at the same time. I've been really thinking about this since we've been contemplating our podcast. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and see if I can bring, like, I have metrics to bring my footprint down, right?
Well, and that's the thing is, like, we had to replace our HVAC a couple times. Like, we have two units, so we had to replace them both. And I'm sure what we're doing is better for the environment, but now there's two HVAC units that are out there in a landfill somewhere, and it was crazy expensive to get a high energy one.
I know. It's nuts.
It's like, I know I need to do it, but the payoff is ridiculous. Right. It could take us another lifetime for that to be a cost-worthy thing.
So that's what we're talking about.
Well, so now that you're talking about, like, the sacrifice you're willing to make in order for and I'm not saying that's wrong.
Right.
I'm just saying it's hard. Like,
right.
You already have so much other stuff to deal with. Like, that's difficult.
So much easier than, I mean, so much harder than buying $10 metal straws, you know.
I mean, it would be nice if we got some, I don't know, tax relief because of the environmental things
we're
doing would be, that'd be
well,
cool.
Well, at a time there was, so we should talk about that
in
another episode.
Yeah, but we live in Georgia.
Do we tell people our websites?
So, just so that everybody knows, we have a website also. You can find out about our episodes and the things that we've done and what our successes and failures are. We're going to blog about it on the website. And we're going to put the things that we've tried out and whether they've been a success or failure and links to where you can buy them. Right there on it. And the website address is incrementalstepspodcast.com.
Oh, incrementalstepspodcast.com.
Right.
I like it.
So take a look there. We'll put some show notes up and some other things that are going on. And then we intend to publish this every week. So we'll be here every week or so if we happen to be out of town, which you're going to be talking to the UN soon. So that's a big thing.
Right.
That won't be.
I may call in.
Town for.
I may call in from New York.
Okay.
It might be fun.
So as we can, and in the meantime, you guys, thank you for listening, and we look forward to talking with you soon.
And take good care of yourself until we see you again.
Woman feels her power when her voice is being heard. A woman feels her power when her voice is being heard.